This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Danny Orzino from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the August and September 2019 issues of Lion Magazine. We'll begin with our September issue with the LCI Forward Update. The world is moving forward, and so is LCI. 5 years ago, LCI announced the strategic plan to serve 200 million people annually by focusing our efforts in areas we felt would best get us to that goal. It's amazing what we've done so far. Over the past 4 years, Lions have participated in LCI Forward by enhancing service, impact, and focus, reshaping public opinion and improving visibility, pursuing excellence at the club, district, and organizational levels, and improving membership value and reaching new markets. These may seem like abstract ideas, but your club might be participating without realizing it. Did you know that getting out and talking to your neighbors can help reshape public opinion? It certainly increases visibility. And a more visible Lions Club is one that has a better chance of attracting new members. And when your club chooses to focus on one of our main cause areas like diabetes, hunger, childhood cancer, vision, or the environment, then you are enhancing your service impact. When you are constantly asking how you can make your club better, then you are in pursuit of excellence. You are improving membership value when you give Lions a great experience in serving. And you reach new markets when you reach out to young people, to families, to busy working parents who want to serve but can't commit to monthly in-person meetings. LCI Forward has been a successful initiative so far, and it's thanks to our Lions. Congratulations on helping us work toward our goal. And you can share your story by going to lionsclubs.org/LCI Forward. Again, lionsclubs.org/LCI Forward. Next, I'm going to share two articles with you from the August 2019 issue of Lion Magazine. The first one is a feature article titled In Bloom. For 56 years, the Cecilton Lions in Maryland have marked the arrival of spring with Operation Daffodil, their only mission to make people smile. For the last 20 of those 56 years, Rose Miller and her husband, Cecilton Lion Jack Miller, have headed the project, monitoring the spring weather and driving down to the valley in Earlton, near Cecilton, where the daffodil stands in the wild, covering the land with a blanket of yellow. When the Millers put out the news that it's time, the valley is in bloom, the Lions, their friends, and a growing number of the community's kind-hearted come to join in the fun of picking the flowers and then assembling bouquets to give away. It all depends on Mother Nature's timing, says Rose Miller. We've done this in snow, rain, bitter cold, wind, but this year it was beautiful. This year it was mid-March when the flowers bloomed. About 150 Saturday morning volunteers picked 20,000 to 30,000 daffodils, laying them on cardboard trays to take to a barn where more volunteers arranged them into bouquets. Lion Jan Haley, who volunteered this year to take over for the retiring Millers, says 882 bouquets of 30 or 40 daffodils were delivered to the homebound, hospital patients, and nursing and retirement home residents in the area this spring. The daffodils grow on land owned by the Up family. Because this stretch of woodland is not farmed and remains undisturbed year after year, the plants keep spreading. No one knows for certain how they were started there, but Donnie Up says they suspect someone planted a few in an old cemetery nearby, and they grew. And they grew. Or maybe the birds and the wind took the seed, spreading flowers through the wetlands near the Sassafras River. We don't really know, but we do know that Mother Nature takes care of it, says Miller. Organizing Operation Daffodil starts at least a month in advance with getting the plastic cups for the vases, lion decals, and vermiculite sands to put in the bottom of the cups to keep them from tipping. Hot dogs, chocolate, coffee, and sweets for the volunteers are other important components. People can come and go as they wish, but we don't give anybody a chance to sit down, says Rose Miller. We work from 6 o'clock until noon. You stand next to somebody and you talk and you meet a lot of people. It's really fun and it's very rewarding. Up, whose father, the late John Up, is credited with turning the small neighborly effort of sharing bouquets into the Lions Club project 56 years ago, gives the volunteers rides down to the valley on a tractor trailer, and then back, laden with flowers when they're done. When I first became a Lion member, I had no idea there were so many little pieces to this puzzle, says Haley. It's fun. You never have the same experience twice. At Calvert Manor, a long-term care facility in nearby Rising Sun, activities director Taylor Racine says the residents love Daffodil Day. Volunteers this year delivered 136 bouquets to the home, giving each resident an individual burst of spring. The staff appreciates it too, says Racine. It's wonderful because it puts a smile on everyone's face. And next, also from our August magazine, LCIF Impact. And it's titled Sight for Kids, a Powerful Partnership. Ben was 3 years old. He should have felt happy, inquisitive, and brave. Instead, he always seemed to have an angry expression on his face. He rarely smiled. In addition, he had delayed motor skills and difficulty walking. He would frequently run into things. He was frustrated and expressed it through crying and tantrums. Confused by his behavior, Ben's parents were not sure how to help him. What they didn't know was that Ben was struggling to see the world clearly. Ben's parents suspected there might be something wrong with his vision but couldn't afford to take him to a doctor. Then they learned about Sight for Kids, a school-based partnership program between Lions Club's International Foundation, also known as LCIF, and Johnson & Johnson Vision. Sight for Kids Kenya organized an outreach camp in Ben's home city of Kisumu in western Kenya. Though he was not yet old enough for school, Ben was brought in for a special evaluation. After some testing, doctors diagnosed Ben with dense congenital cataract in his right eye, rendering him completely blind in that eye. He likely had it since birth. Ben's parents brought him to the Lions Sight First Eye Hospital for an operation at no cost to them. A surgeon removed the cataract from Ben's eye, taking away the dark cloud over his vision. After surgery, Ben needed glasses, which were also free of cost. When he put on his glasses for the first time, Ben's angry grimace disappeared. In fact, he grinned. Then he started laughing. He was seeing clearly for the first time in his life. A lot of people just do not know what eye health is, says Dr. Tanvi Shah, senior optometrist and Sight for Kids Kenya chairperson at Lions Sight First Eye Hospital. Children do not know what normal eyesight is, so a lot of these eye conditions go undetected due to lack of awareness and a lack of access to treatment facilities and funds, she says. Through the caring support from doctors with the Sight for Kids program, Ben's entire life changed. He went from being categorized as a naughty child with puzzling behavior to a happy, healthy toddler with the same capabilities as other kids his age. Dr. Shaw even describes him as bubbly. Sight for Kids is a community-based eye health education and vision screening referral program for children created through the partnership between LCIF and Johnson & Johnson Vision in 2001. The program mobilizes local eye care professionals, Lions, and volunteers to conduct vision screenings in low-income schools and provides teachers with eye health training. When a potential eye problem is detected, the program refers the student to a doctor for an exam and provides eyeglasses or other necessary treatment. Eyeglasses for refractive errors are the most common form of treatment from Sight for Kids, but the program also catches impairments that are more serious, like Ben's cataract, that could lead to irreversible vision loss, missing developmental skills, and lost social opportunities. Sight for Kids began with just a few program sites in Asia and a goal to provide schools with as much high health care, education, and awareness as possible. In recent years, thanks to the global network of support between Local Alliance, LCIF, and Johnson & Johnson Vision, Sight for Kids has grown to reach new cities in China, Turkey, and Kenya. Today, Sight for Kids is believed to be the largest school-based vision screening program in the world. Locally, Lions are critical stakeholders for the program. Lions recruit local eye care professionals and help engage and gain permission from health ministries, departments of education, and school leaders to turn teachers into champions of healthy eyes. They also help parents navigate the process of getting eye care for their children, easing their worries about cost, and helping them gain access to experienced professionals. Sight for Kids' tremendous growth could be attributed to the shared values between Lions and Johnson & Johnson Vision. Johnson & Johnson Vision believes in improving local communities and global health through their vision to help people see better, connect better, and live better. Lions are Knights of the Blind, dedicated to ending preventable blindness in underserved communities all across the globe. Sight allows us to uniquely connect with life's moments and with each other. At Johnson & Johnson Vision, we are connected by a powerful purpose to change the trajectory of global eye health, says Shlomi Nachman, company group chairman for Johnson & Johnson Vision and Interventional Solutions and Specialty Surgery. That's why every day we work with eye care professionals to connect cutting-edge insights, science, and technology, and increase awareness to solve a lifetime of eye health needs. From protecting and correcting vision to allow our youngest patients to grow, play, and learn, to enhancing and restoring vision to fully experience the lives we've built, we're there every step of the way. Together, we are creating a world connected by sight. Through LCIF and Johnson & Johnson Vision's commitment to healthy vision, Sight for Kids has reached more than 2 million children per year and recently surpassed 30 million children total in its near 18-year partnership. Johnson & Johnson Vision support, both in charitable grants as well as employee leadership and engagement, have helped Local Alliance put the necessary resources and expertise in place to create healthier communities that give kids a better chance at success. Key Sight for Kids impact since 2001. Here's some great statistics for you. 30 million children provided with eye health education and vision screening in 10 countries. 170,000 teachers trained in the importance of eye health. 600,000-plus children treated through no-cost eyeglasses and other critical vision treatment. And finally, $4.5 million U.S. dollars provided by Johnson & Johnson Vision. So what's next after serving 30 million children in 18 years? Together, LCIF and Johnson & Johnson Vision aspire to double the number of children treated, surpassing 1 million treated globally through Sight for Kids by 2021. Next, I'm going to review one of our feature articles from our September 2019 issue, titled Interference. Sky Noah Misner was barely 3 years old when her mother realized something was wrong. During swimming class in a noisy pool, Marie Flora Misner said her doctor wasn't responding correctly to the teacher's instructions. Afterwards, she cried and she said she didn't want to swim anymore. Misner's initial thought was that her daughter had a hearing problem, but a hearing test found no issues. That set off a frustrating search for answers, during which Misner would hear her daughter had attention deficit disorder, characterized by a distractibility that can adversely affect personal relationships. It was a suggestion that Misner rejected outright. She gets along with everyone, Misner said on a recent afternoon outdoors as her daughter played nearby. Right running and laughing with her younger brother, Elio, Sky in Ohio now seems to be a typical six-year-old girl. The name Sky refers to the heavens, and Ohio is Hawaiian for lovely, explains her dad, Army 7th Special Forces Sergeant, 1st Class Robert Misner. As things turned out, the day at the swimming lessons was not the only manifestation of Sky and Ohio's difficulties. Her difficulty in concentrating continued as she started school. When she couldn't understand, she would get upset, Misner says. Each day, getting into her mother's car after school, Sky and Ohio would collapse into the passenger seat, utterly exhausted. Eventually, Marie Fleur Misner's search led her to a specialist in Mississippi who diagnosed Sky and Ohio with central auditory processing disorder. The condition, affecting just a small percentage of school-aged children, is marked by interference in the way the brain processes and interprets sounds, particularly human speech. Voices of swimming instructors, teachers, and parents are lost in the cacophony of ambient noises, keyboards clacking, TVs droning, nearby conversations that other people can tune out. In Sky and Ohio's case, the condition was so pronounced that she couldn't eat in the school cafeteria. It was just too loud for her, her mother says. Armed with an answer, Misner went to Blue Water Elementary School. Initially, she says, Sky and Ohio's teacher tried using a megaphone in class to talk with her daughter. When that didn't work, Misner got the Okaloosa County School District to purchase a special FM transmitter worn around the teacher's neck that sent her voice to receivers in Sky and Ohio's ears to filter out other sounds. Still, Sky and Ohio had to deal with her problem at home. The family's insurance wouldn't cover the cost of the equipment, which can cost several thousand dollars. The Misners started an online GoFundMe campaign to raise money to get the equipment for home use, but raised just slightly more than $1,000. Then, one day, on a whim, Mr. went online and typed in the name of the system's manufacturer, Phonak. She learned that Gulf Coast Hearing Centers, with an office in Niceville, was involved with Phonak. She dialed the local business to ask about prices and told Sky Noah's story to owner Jim Dane. He was like, I want to help you. Let me see what I can do, Mr. remembers. That touched me so much. Dane, past president of the Panama City Lions Club, soon met with Sky and Ohio and her mother and turned to the service organization for help. Within weeks, with help from a prize break from Dane, area Lions clubs had raised the money to provide the Misners with a transmitter and a receiver. I said, we are Lions. Our motto is to serve, says District Governor Bobby Wright. Deborah Lucas, president of the Niceville Valparaiso Lions Club, says the meeting with Misner's need wasn't anything special. It's at the core of being a human being, she says. For Edward Mitchell of the Crestful Lions Club, being involved in meeting the Misner's need was very rewarding. At home, Sky and Ohio's parents each used the transmitter to keep their daughter focused, her father says, telling her things like, dinner's ready, or even, please pick up your toys. For the Lions Club to step up, it was a huge relief, he says. As a result of her experience, Marie Florin Misner is urging parents not to simply accept a diagnosis of attention deficit disorder, but to consider the possibility of an auditory processing disorder. I've never heard about this before, she says. I'm just glad that I listened to my gut. And next, another feature article from our September issue, Growing Up Green. In the butterfly garden at Westcott Elementary School near Chicago, fourth graders cheered as they planted a 3-foot-tall tree for Arbor Day, gladly crawling on their knees to press dirt around the roots and make it secure. The Norway spruce wasn't just any tree. Just like the saplings that the students were receiving that day, this tree was given to a Westcott Elementary School fourth grader by the Glenview Lions 3 years earlier. It was part of their fourth grade foresters program, and like the kids, the tree had grown. Since 2013, 362 Lions clubs in 45 states have given 142,536 little trees to fourth graders, says Deborah Ursh, the founder and president of the Nebraska program. For the last 6 years, the Glenview Lions have proudly accounted each year for about 150 of those trees being distributed to two schools. And in Warrenville, Illinois, the Warrenville Lions each year give out about 225 trees. Glenview's past president, Terrence Dooley, says the program is a perfect fit for a service project. Not only does it give Lions an opportunity to explain service to children, but, says Dooley, it teaches kids about Arbor Day and helps them realize what's happening with the environment and the importance of planting trees. The trees planted at Westcott this year were donated by Tracy and David Becker and their daughter Molly of Northbrook. They cared for it since Molly brought it home from school on Arbor Day in 2016, keeping the little tree in a pot on the kitchen countertop at first, then moving it outside to a bigger pot, and eventually an even bigger one as it grew. Knowing the tree would eventually be too big for their yard, the Beckers gave it back to the school. Ursh says the Norway spruce was particularly chosen for the Chicago area, just as other appropriate species are chosen for other areas of the country by state foresters. The trees are provided by regional nurseries and packaged by the disabled. The organization helps to revitalize the celebration of Arbor Day in the schools, having distributed more than 750,000 saplings to fourth graders in more than 7,000 schools across the U.S. since 2006. Fourth graders were chosen to become honorary foresters because a fourth grader can begin to understand stewardship, says Ursh. Lions can make a tremendous impact and teach kids at an early age to be stewards of their communities. At Westcott, Dooley handed small trees to students while answering their questions. "Will it grow?" a young girl asked him. "It will if you take care of it," he says. Next, from our August issue from our Global Service Department, smooth sailing service. This is from Croatia. Every spring, sea cowboys, awkward turtles, energy pirates, Slovenian sharks, and Hungarian sea lions line the coast of Croatia off the Adriatic Sea. These are just some of the creative names lions have given their boats for the annual regatta organized by the District 126 Croatia Lions to raise money for prevention and rehabilitation programs for people with narcotics dependencies. It began more than 20 years ago as an initiative from Lions clubs of Zagreb and Split. The narcotics dependency in Croatia overall is possibly like in any other countries, says PDG Drazen Melkic, who helps organize the event. But this problem is bigger at the coast where the economy is weak and relies heavily on summer tourism. Over the 21 years they've been doing the event, Melkic estimates they've donated between $150,000 and $200,000 U.S. dollars. For the first 16 years, the regatta was limited to only Croatian crews. 5 years ago, they opened it up to crews in other nations, and in 2019 had 30 international crews from Albania, Austria, Bosnia, England, Estonia, France, Germany, Hungary, Italy, Japan, Lebanon, Macedonia, Romania, Russia, Serbia, Slovenia, and Sweden, in addition to 20 crews from host District 126 in Croatia. "We invite the crews to have symbolic fantasy and funny names for their crews," says Malkic, "and the crews don't let them down. One crew was named Paul Sophia in reference to where the eclectic crew met at the Advanced Lions Leadership Institute, also known as the Ally, in Sofia, Bulgaria, during the Europa Forum in 2016. That particular crew was made up of lions from Bosnia and Croatia, Macedonia, and Slovenia. This big Lions event provides a perfect opportunity for many Lions from many countries to meet and serve at least two main goals, promoting the fellowship of Lions and sharing our stories," says Malkic. Next, from Turkey, from boats to blackboards. Shipping containers get a second life as mobile classrooms for displaced people. When the Syrian civil war came to a climax toward the end of 2014, a surge of people began to flee the intense bombings in the region. Lions were ready. For more than 3 years, the Lions in Turkey have partnered with Lions in Sweden to provide aid to refugees in Turkey along the Syrian border. But it soon became clear that food and shelter wasn't going to be all that was needed. We started with the distribution of emergency aid goods in a village in Surak, Turkey, which took in 250,000 people in 1 week, says PDG Nilga Nyward. And as the number of refugees grew, Lions coordinated a partnership with the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, also known as the UNHCR, so they could keep up with the growing need. The food and other emergency items were life-saving, but as the days turned to months, a new problem arose. In towns where the bulk of the refugees had landed, there was not enough room in the local classrooms for the influx of new children. It would be too difficult to add classrooms to existing schools, so Nyord began working with the Ministry of Education in Adana, Turkey, and other ways to increase capacity. They decided to try shipping containers. The 40-foot containers create 300 square feet of internal space and could be outfitted to be suitable as classrooms and placed anywhere. In Adana, they were placed in school gardens. Lions added blackboards, projection equipment, and air conditioning to make it comfortable. We tried it out with just one classroom for it first, says Nyord. Now they have 55. It's like we added two big schools, says Nyord. The success of the container classrooms got the Lions thinking about what else they could use them for. The portability of the containers means they are easy to place and can be moved elsewhere when no longer needed. With funding from all Scandinavian countries, in addition to Mavi Halik and the Resatvi Lions Clubs in Turkey, Lions have begun using the containers to host adult education classes, stage trauma centers, and multi-purpose meeting halls for refugees. They help parents navigate their new life in Turkey with information on legal services and even provide practical information such as health and child-rearing methods. The trauma centers help children deal with the violence they've seen and adjust to their new life in Turkey. So far, they've provided group meetings and one-on-one therapy for more than 350 children in just a few months of their pilot program. When people are forced from their home country, their needs are many. The container classrooms are one of many services Lions in Sweden and Turkey are providing to orphans and widows in need. Children taken into the education system will grow up integrated into society, says Nyord, and the Lions will help them do it. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for print and visually impaired audiences. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, 919-832-5138. Have a wonderful day.